to the Victory Harvest Podcast.
I don't want anybody to do this. I want you just to shake. Would you just shake? That's shaking any depression you have over LSU. Just shake it off right now. You know, one of the most famous quotes in football, one time was a team, they fumbled, they ran wrong plays, they didn't call timeouts when they should have, they did all this, all that. I mean, one miscue after another. And at the post press conference, it was asked, what do you think of your team's execution? He said, I'm in favor of it. We'll leave that right there. The Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. You know, one of the keys about life is the more the Lord gives you, the more we're required. In fact, one of the brothers, Jack, told me that he figured out Les Miles' pay is $325 a game. Something, is that what it is? How much? $345,000 a game. So how many, I told him I wanted to think through my salary again per Sunday and something along that line. But the intent of the comment was, to whom much is given, much is required. And, you know, I just have to tell you this. I've got a sermon I've got ready to preach that I had one of those weeks to where much has been given to me, much was required of me this week. I had one of those weeks to where me and the Lord, my wife's gone, so me and the Lord just got alone. How many know just be alone? You're just alone. And you come face to face sometimes with the Lord. And there are seasons when the Lord, you're walking with the Lord, he's so familiar, and then he just steps out in front of you, stops you and says, I'm God. Then he steps back beside you and you start walking again. And you're never the same. You maybe your mind just goes, who am I walking with? So there are seasons when the Lord just forcefully comes into your life and deals with you. And I've got a sermon called The Rooster. I want to preach The Rooster. Never heard it before in my life, but I got one called The Rooster. And look at somebody say, you need a rooster in your life. Would you need a rooster in your life? I'm going to preach. I don't know when I'll get to it. I'm going to see it soon. But one of the keys about having it, one of the keys the way the Lord deals with your lives is the Lord puts into your life friends. And the Bible says iron sharpens iron. And if you're wise, you listen to those that God puts into your life to speak to you. And really because you never realize the value of things until they're gone sometimes. You know, my wife's been gone 2.5 months. I really appreciate my wife. And I'm going to tell you, my house is clean. I'm not along it. My house is clean. I wash dishes. Ask my daughter back there. She can tell you, I wash dishes every night. We wash towels every night. My house is swept. I mean, we're not swept so much, but swept once or twice. And hadn't been vacuumed yet, but you can't see that. And so, but it looks clean. So I don't miss my wife because of that kind of stuff. I miss my wife because she's a gift God has given me. And it's my other half. There's half of me missing. Come on, somebody. There's half of me missing. And somebody said, well, didn't you go off somewhere? I said, no, I don't want to go nowhere. I don't have my wife with me. Why do I want to go somewhere, you know, by myself? And as you begin to do that, because iron sharpens iron. And, you know, the Bible says that there are gifts that God gives to the church. The fivefold ministry, pastors, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and apostles and prophets. And those are gifts that God gives to us. And one of those is Kenny. I just led up to lead to introduce him because he's going to minister this morning. And there are gifts that the Lord gives us in our lives that are just men and women God puts in our lives to help us and to help us see blind spots. This week I met with a man I've known for 30 some years. And I looked at him and I said, and he, everything would say, that's not right. And I said, you know what? Do you know what a blind spot is? Come on, somebody. I preached a message one time. I know I'm taking a long time, but let me do it. I preached a message one time called I See the Mailbox. Remember the guy backing the boat up? His wife is back there. Honey, stop. You're about to hit, nah. And he's about to hit the mailbox. And finally, out of frustration, he just guns it and slams the mailbox down, just knocks it down. So one of the keys is because he says, I see the mailbox, but there are blind spots in our lives. It takes other people to do it. And God gave us many years ago, Brother Kenny and Janice on staff with us. And God has used him as a mouthpiece many times. And and I really enjoy just the wisdom that God's given him and used him through the years in our church, not only from the pulpit, from small groups and counseling and many of the interactions he's had with many of you. And so I've asked Brother Kenny to come and preach. Won't you give Brother Kenny a great welcome this morning as he comes? Come on.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Are we on? Now, let's do a little light adjustment right here. If you'll turn those down a little bit. It's making my bald head shine on at least three people I know over here. You feel that, huh, don't you? That's yours, brother. Is God good or what?
Yeah.
Amen? We're going to go in fellowship in a little while, but I got a sermon I wanted to give you today. And I was just getting fired up, brother. It's like you want to go ahead and do the sermon today. I'll do mine later, you know. But God is so good. And I want to share something with you today that maybe it'll put an image in your mind that you will always remember. And it's going to be more than just a little bitty, light, sugar-coated sermon. This is something that will set you free. It will do some inner healing to some of you that you may not even think about it by doing what I'm going to do. And it'll explain itself as we're going along. But I want you to come to that place where you say, Holy Spirit, I want you to open up my spirit today. And I want you to fill me with your word. And when I do go through things, Lord, I want to know that you're setting me free. That you have already paid the price and you have already accomplished what I need. All I need to do is line up with what you say. Is that a good prayer for us? Father, we thank you today, Lord God, for the opportunity to come and to share your word, to share your love with each and every person in this building. Lord, I pray that every person in this building today, Lord God, would leave changed, that something would be different in their life, that they would have a different outlook on things, that they would begin to see you in your fullness more and more every day. And Father, I thank you, Lord God, that you're preparing your church, Lord God, for the coming of you, Lord. And Father, today we just give you glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I got some things I want to kind of read. I want to kind of stay close to my notes because I wrote it down and there's no way I'm going to remember it. And I know we got dinner immediately after this. So if you'll bear with me and if your stomach growls, just say, praise God, there's food in the other building. You know, and you will be fed and you will be taken care of. But I'm going to do this and I'm going to try to do it as quickly as I can without missing most of it. But I want you to listen to this. This is the title of my sermon today. Your focus determines your finish. What you focus on is what you're going to finish with. And if it's one thing I can do today, I want to get you to where you begin to focus on some good things that God's got for us. How many of you know that God is moving in the day that we're living in right now? We're seeing the scriptures come alive on a daily basis through our government, through the things, the signs of the time, through the dispensation. You name it, this thing is all culminating together. And if it's culminating together, how much does the church of the living God need to focus on the things of God? You see, I don't want somebody to tell me I missed something. I want to know that I'm standing where God wants me to be, and God is going to bring me through. Amen? That's why He gave us the Holy Spirit, that we can listen to Him and not all the other spirits that's out there. Amen? Expectation is finding and focusing on God's picture of you and your future. Your enemy has another picture of you that he wants you to see. I want to bring a great awareness to some of you that if you don't believe that there's a real devil, you need to open your eyes because there really is. Jesus recognized him and he said the thief came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He does not want you to prosper in the things of God. He don't want you to even prosper as being a human being. Period. But you can get your eyes focused on that and you can lose out on every part of your life. Not only physically, mentally, and spiritually. You will lose out if you focus on those things. Some people don't even know how to recognize those things. If you're here today and you don't know how, I want to shake you until you open your eyes and realize that there's a real world out there. There's a real devil, but there's a real God out there. And God's got a way for each and every one of us to listen, to do what He wants us to do. Amen? Which picture will you focus on? Choice is a determining factor. Choice. God gave every one of us in this building today a choice to choose the way that we will go. And that is going to determine your focus. Your focus determines your finish. Listen to these things. I'm going to go through them. Israel focused on giants and finished dying in the desert, while Caleb and Joshua focused on grapes and finished feasting in Canaan. Amen? The world focused on sensual pleasure and finished drowning in a flood, while Noah focused on a God-given plan and finished ruling the world. It's what you focus on. It's what you choose to do in your life. Esau focused on a bowl of butter beans and finished weeping over what could have been, while Jacob focused on the blessings and finished as Israel, a prince of God. Amen? Now, do you think that we have the same opportunities as they did? Yes. But sometimes we lose out on it because we focus on the wrong thing. We need to come to that place and realize that God has got a plan for our life. Judas focused on 30 pieces of silver and finished hanging from a tree, while the other disciples focused on the Lord and were finished sitting on thrones in the kingdom of God. I choose to sit and be with Jesus. Amen. God has created your mind and your spirit to function as an internal camera. Now, I brought some cameras today. I bought this little camera. I don't even know where I bought it, but it's good. It's a smart little rascal. You turn it on, you know, it's got such thing as ISO sensitivity. It's got flash. It's got focus. It's got backlight. It don't have a phone on it, but I do have a phone with a camera on it. It does have an aperture speed. It does have a timer. It does not have a GPS, but I got one of those. Now, why would a camera need a GPS? Does it need to know where it's going? It's got shutter speed, it's got zoom, and it's got a video in it. But you know what a camera does? Listen to this. The basic camera has three main components. It has a lens, it has film, and it has focus to it. And you know that God made us almost like a camera, but a lot better? Think about this. The lens is your eyes and your ears. The film is your mind and your spirit. The focus is the power of choice. And all a camera does is when you turn it on, I think I got it on, yeah. When you turn a camera on, it takes an image that's out there and brings it into here. And when it goes into this little box or container, whatever it is, immediately it puts an imprint on either a film or a card or whatever it is. And did you know that's exactly what happens to you and I when we do that? In fact, while I got this thing on, I think I'll just take your picture, you know. Comb your hair, Pop. What you do? Let's get some over here, you know. Somebody over here is not smiling. Let's get one right over here. All right. Now we'll do that one. But have you ever seen one of these? This coming from a garage sale, you know. I think I bought this for a quarter. But let me show you what it does, you know. Of course, that's a dummy one because that's a brand new thing of film. But let me take y'all's picture. Now, you know what I just did? I took an image that was out there and put it in this box. And this box put that same image on this piece of paper. All right, let's go on. In the natural photograph or focus of the lens of a camera or a subject you want to capture, when you choose to push the shutter release, the image focused on outside of the camera is allowed inside. I've already said that. I don't need that piece anymore. God has created your mind and your spirit to function the same way. I want you to listen to this. What you choose to hear and see focuses on a picture of godliness or wickedness. God gave us a choice. We can either look at godly things or we can look at wicked things. And we have to make up our mind what we want to do. Achievement or failure, victory or defeat, That choice of focus when this then is imprinted on the film of your imagination. How many of you have an imagination? I love to be around little kids that will talk, especially little girls. You know, we got nieces and little kids, and they'll sit and they'll start talking to you, and you can ask them some kind of fictitious question, and they will just come up with anything. And it's like, now you know good and well they don't have a clue what they're talking about, but somewhere they're imagining things. They're playing along with you. And they are going and going and going, and it's like, wow, what a creative mind. And it's in their imagination. How many of you have an imagination that you use once in a while? You know, if you don't, then you need to use it, because there's imprints that you take in every day, either good or bad. And when they come, you need to use your imagination to figure out which one is which. What can you do to be creative? I think that Christians are to be the most creative people on the face of the earth. When God gives you an idea through your eye gate or your ear gate, you ought to respond to that and say, God, you just showed me something. You just taught me something, and I need to listen and put this in the right order, because you're speaking to me. It's just like Pastor Terry said, you know, he's been off this week, and he's cleaned up, I'm sure. You know, one time he called me. He said, come over here quick. You know, it's been a few years back, and I went over there, and he had put a four-wheeler in his kitchen on a tile floor, and it sat there for a week. And when he said, Jasmine is on the way home. We got to do something quickly. So we got the four-wheeler out and finally found enough stuff to get the tile clean. But he's been listening to God. You know, and I think that's a great example, because we all need to pull away sometimes and just say, God, speak to me. God, in these days that we're living in, God, I want to know that you're telling me what to do and how to do it. In everything that I do, I want it to be to honor your name, that you would receive glory and honor. Lord, I'm just a vessel. Lord, I'm just a little box with a lens. And I'm a little box with a mind. But God, I want you to put an image in my life that I can change someone else's life. Amen? Are you ever moved by pictures? You know, look at these boxes. I want you to look at this picture right here. Yeah, I'm really proud of that. You know, I went out in my yard. I took a camera lesson from one of the ladies in our church, and she said, you need to get you a digital camera. You know, everything I had was either Polaroid or 35 millimeter. So I went out and I bought me a $150 Canon digital super duper. This thing's got all kind of bells and whistles and buttons. They showed us how to do it and everything. And I walked out in my yard and never did anything but just turn it on, and I snapped that picture right there. And I went, and Janice went and put it in the neighbor's catalog, or sent it to the neighbor's catalog, because they give you a prize, supposedly, you know. So I won first prize. I didn't even know it. I got the book 3 months later, and I'm sitting in my den, and I'm opening the book, and it's like, wow, that looks like my picture. And I look down there, and it says, this picture was sent in by Kenny Cotrera, and he won first place. And it's like, yahoo! And I'm going to Hollywood or going to Hawaii or somewhere. I just got first place. So I called the guy on the phone. I said, hey, man, that was my picture in your magazine. I said, what'd I get? He said, nothing. I said, you mean I'm not going anywhere? He said, are you somewhere now? And I said, yeah. He said, well, that's where you're going. So it's pretty obvious I wouldn't get nothing for it. He said, you did get first place recognition for it. So I was glad to do that. But then people asked me, said, man, how did you get that with that depth and that color and all this stuff? And you know, the very proud thing you want to do is, well, I went out there and I adjusted the aperture and the shutter speed, and I set the ISOs at the right aperture, and I did everything, and I lined up everything, and I snapped it. I said, you know what I did? I went out there and I pushed my camera button and I took a picture. Just like that. And I have no idea how I did it. But that's what I got. But you know, the main thing is, I did something. How many times have you had the opportunity to do something for God, and all you had to do was push the shutter? The choice is yours. You could have put a good image in there, or you could have put a bad image. But the choice was yours, and all you had to do was click the photo. And that's a very important thing that I want you to understand, because there are opportunities that come that we need to take advantage of. Amen? Expectation is revealed to your imagination. Jesus taught this concept of the eye gate serving as a lens of your imagination. Listen to this scripture, Matthew 6, 22, 23. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thy eye be single, and the whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. That tells me that we got eyes, that we can see. Thank God he healed me one time because I was supposed to be blind. And one of the greatest things that I ever wanted was to be healed. And Jesus totally healed me. I see better out of this eye than I do this one. But that was a fear that was of mine. But he gave me eyes to see. And when he did, I want to see the things that he wants me to see. That my life would be full of his light. You see, because there's something else that works in a camera. Not only the lens and the box and the image and the film that's in it. It has to have light to make it work. And you and I have the light of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. Paul taught that the ear gate is also a lens allowing the outside to imprint on the inside. You know, there are people that are blind and they can't see. But you can tell them stuff and it goes to the imagery in their brain. And they can tell what you're talking about. They see what you see even though they don't have eyes. Because it goes into their ear gate. Another canal into the imagery of what God's got for us in our lives. Faith, this is what Paul said. He said, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Words and sight create images, pictures in your mind and spirit. Ephesians 1:18, it says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened that you may know. You know, one of the coolest things I ever saw in my life, Janice and I went to Georgia. We just got back from Georgia, but a couple of years we went. And we stopped at this park. I forgot, what was the name of that thing? Callaway Gardens. And we stopped there and we checked out the gardens and ate a hamburger and just did our little thing. And they said they were having a bird show down by the river. So I said, well, let's go check it out and see what that's all about. So we go down there, and they got this amphitheater, and this guy's standing right next to the water, and he's got this little T-pole up there, and he's got a little bag of meat hanging on his side that he unzips and gets it out. So every now and then, he'll blow a whistle, and an eagle or something would come and fly and land on that podium, and he'll give it a piece of meat, and he'll explain to you about that bird. And that's like, well, that's really neat. And he said, I got one coming. He said, it's going to really blow your mind. And it's like, what could blow our mind besides these eagles? And, you know, they had sprays and had falcons and other stuff. And he said, this is a bald eagle. And he said, I want you to listen to him when he comes in. And way in the background, they had these boxes kind of in the trees. And they would open the box and make them fly out. So he blows the whistle. The box opens. And all at once, this beautiful bald eagle comes flying down right between, just like this row right here. And his wingspan went from that row to that row, flying down just shoo, like that. And everybody's ducking and screaming. And as he's coming down through there, right before he got to the little pedestal, he said, quack, quack. And it's like, that must have been a record. So he lands on the thing and the guy says, you know, did anybody notice how that eagle sounded? Of course, everybody said, yeah, he sounded like a duck. And he said, you know why he sounded like a duck? Because he was raised with ducks. He got abandoned by his mother. The mother was killed or something. And a family of ducks took this eagle on. And that eagle, because of what he saw, because of what he heard, it imprinted. It's what they call imprinting in the mind of an animal. Even in the animal world, it imprinted that sound into his mind. I've never looked at an eagle right again, you know. It's just like, you just don't, an eagle, you know what I mean, they stand up so majestic and they don't flap and start taking off. They just leap into the air and they're gone. And this eagle has got a problem. I mean, he's sitting there and he gives him food and he looks at him, quack, quack, quack. And it's like, this don't fit. Is that setting anybody free? You know what? Because we're supposed to fly like eagles. We're fixing to celebrate Thanksgiving, and some people still are wandering around in the barnyard like turkeys. It's time for Christians to get up. spread our wings and get a different imagery on us. We've been raised the right way. We've been taught the right way. We have seen the good things. We have heard the good things. So we ought to be imprinting the things of God in our life. Can I get a better amen? Amen? I mean, that's what God's trying to tell us. It says, before Kodak and Polaroid ever existed, the Holy Spirit understood photographic technology. Listen to this. The Greek word for enlightenment is phototizo, from which we get our word photography. So everything that we see, we need to know that the Holy Spirit is trying to teach us that, either through our eye gate or through our ear gate. Let it make an impression in your mind. Let it imprint, if you will, your spirit. Because when it does, you're not going to be moved by anything. You see, I just took a picture a while ago of the congregation. Now, I know that we got computers and we got things. You know, you can have all kind of programs on your computer. My son's got one on his computer. I said, son, put me some hair on my head while you're doing it. Shave a little bit off right here. You know, they do supermodels and stuff like that. You see these people, they're not real. They've been computerized. But when you take a real picture, it's not going to change. What you see is what you're going to get. Amen? These imaginations, right or wrong, determine the way you think, and the way you think determines what you are. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And it says God created the law of visualization. Proverbs 29, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. I want you to get a vision. Acts 26, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. See, when God gives you a vision, when God gives you a heavenly vision, don't be disobedient to it. You might stand before the kings one day. You might stand before the president one day and have to tell what is inside of you. And that impression inside of you will change what is in other people. Because you know why? They have an eye gate and they have an ear gate. And I'm convinced if we take what's in us, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world, and give it to the world, they're going to be better off. Amen? Do y'all understand the reason that we're in the problems that we're in right now is because Christians never took the gospel to these people? And by and large, they're running around groping in darkness. They don't know what to do. They got so many religions bombarding them, and they cannot find their way. And we have the way. We have an image imprinted in our spirit that we can share with a lost and dying world. Amen? God created the law of meditation. Psalms 1:2, it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You know, when you're meditating in the Word of God, when you're letting that come and just saturate your very spirit, God is doing something in there. You may not even be able to remember. Janice asked me one day when I got through reading something, she said, what you been reading? I said, I don't know. It's kind of like when you come to church, you know, and you go out the door and somebody says, well, what did the pastor preach on today? And your mind goes totally blank. Has that ever happened to anybody? You know, but you know it's there. And you know when you know it, when you need it. When the person comes that wants to know where you've been and what they really have a need in their life, then it starts coming out. It starts bubbling out. It's the same way the Holy Spirit does. Sometimes we may read 4 or 5 chapters and somebody say, what did you just read? Well, I don't know. Something about Jesus. Paul was in there. I don't know. You know, but when you need it, it's going to come out. You know why? Because it made an impression in your spirit. And it will come out at the time that you need that. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them that the profiting may appear to all. Take lots of pictures. One thing, I used to hate to take pictures because you got 12 in a row. And you had to put a battery in there. And usually one of them would quit before the other. And I told that guy when I bought this camera, I said, I want me an everlasting battery. He said, I don't know if we got an everlasting battery. I said, yeah, I want one that's going to last more than 10 shots. And I want one of them little cards that's going to go in here that's got lots of them on it. I got a battery in here. I've only charged twice. This camera's 6 months old. And I take lots of pictures with it. But I got a little old chip in this thing right here. It takes 2,650 pictures nonstop. I could just sit here and hold the button down and it'll just keep on going. It's a good little chip. I'd wear Janice out putting these things on the computer. I said, here, Bubba, just put this thing on there and make me a disc. That way I can go back and look at them. But take lots of pictures. That means meditate on it all the time. Every chance you get, you take a picture of the Word of God. Let it come into your spirit, man, and you're going to see God do some great things. You choose vain or sane imaginations. Now think about that. Nobody wants to admit that, but we either take vain or sane imaginations into our life. I want you to listen to these. Just as you focus a camera determines whether the picture will develop into a beautiful panoramic scene or pornography perversion, so the focus of your eyes and ears will determine whether sane imagination or vain imagination will develop. I went to a pastor's meeting one time and they asked something about how many people in here are hooked on pornography. You remember that, don't you? Now, I cried to look around and to see the men and women that's hooked on pornography. It's like, oh God, help us. Where have we failed? Where have we turned away from you? Oh God, change this situation. And let us look on those things that are pure and holy and just and righteous instead of putting our minds and our affections on things that are insane. We need to put them on good things. Amen? Thank God that's one thing I never had a problem with, and I praise God for that. But I'm going to tell you what, I hurt for people that do and have gotten into that situation. We need to help one another with that thing. Amen? And if you're involved in that, I pray that God will deliver you of that thing. And I want to just encourage the youth in this place, never look at none of it. Never. I remember when I was about 11 years old in school at Kentwood, some guy walked up to me one day and he reached in his pocket and he pulled out a little old thing that looked like a comic book. And basically it was just stick drawings, but it was pornography. And I just opened it up and I looked at it and it's like, man, this is trash. What are you doing? And here I am, lost as a goose and could care less about God or anything. But I looked at it, but something inside of me said, throw it down. And I threw it down. Well, you know what? 10 years later, I was going somewhere to give my testimony. And as soon as I got up behind the podium to give my testimony, you know what came to my mind? That little track that had that one picture in there. You know why it did that? Just the short time that I looked at that thing and threw it away, it made an impression in my mind. And now we're talking about years later. And if I sit down here and really meditated on it, I probably could bring it back up. But I'm going to tell you what, that thing has been washed with the blood and I don't want it back and it ain't coming back. Amen? But I'm going to tell you what, people that will sit down and they will look at a computer or look at a TV screen or go somewhere and they will just let that thing saturate their spirit, it's hard to get that image out of your mind. Amen? I've dealt with men and they will cry and tell me, man, I wish I'd have never turn that thing on. It's destroying my life. Everywhere I go, that's all I see. I don't see the things of God. I see that. When I should be looking at God's stuff, I look at that because it comes back up into my mind. And you know how you get that out? The Bible says casting down. Listen to this, 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought of the obedience of Christ. Amen? I'm telling you, I've told people, I said, man, when that thing comes up, you just start pleading the blood of Jesus and you take your hand and you put it on your mind and you cast it down. And call it to be gone and done. Amen? And I've had some of them come and say, man, I'm going to be as bald-headed as you are because I've been doing a lot of casting. And it's like, it's all right. There ain't nothing wrong with bald. I don't have to comb my hair very long at all in the mornings. Praise God. Vain imaginations results from focusing on the enemy's picture. Don't get them in your mind. Don't get them in your spirit. The best way to keep something out is don't open the door. Don't push the shutter. See, I have a choice. I can push that little button. This thing can have a billion things that it can do, but it can't do nothing without me. I am the only one that has control of this little button right here at the top. I am the one that does that. I can either let good stuff come in or I can let bad stuff come in. The choice is up to me. Listen to this. In vain imagination, you see yourself weak, but in sane imagination, you see yourself strong. In vain imagination, you see yourself defeated, but in sane imagination, you see yourself victorious. Amen? In vain imagination, you see yourself depressed, but in joy, but in sane imagination, you see yourself joyful. In vain imagination, you see yourself condemned, but in the sane imagination, you see yourself guilt-free. In vain imagination, you see yourself cursed, but in sane imagination, you see yourself blessed. Are y'all getting the picture here? You know, it's what do we want? What kind of picture do we want to allow to come into our lives? We have that choice as long as our finger is on the button. It's up to us what we want to come in. In every part, steps to process of achievement or failure. You choose to hear with your ears or see with your eyes. That's a choice that every one of us has. We can either choose to hear or see with our eyes and our ears. It's up to us. You choose to believe in your heart what you choose to hear with your ears and see with your eyes. You see, I'm convinced when I see good things and I hear good things, that goes into my heart. That makes a difference in me. That's who I am, is what I see and what I hear. And you get around people that hear and see what God's doing, you see a person with a clean heart, a pure heart. You know, David even did that one day. He even turned the camera back on him. And he says, "Search my heart, O God, and see if there be any evil or wickedness in it." And I want you to know, God does have a camera on you and on me. And one day we're going to get to see that film. Hopefully it's going to be a good one. Amen? Your finger rests upon the shutter release. You determine the focus. Circumstances. Now listen to this, because we all want to play the blame game sometimes. It's time for that to stop. It says, you determine the focus. Circumstances don't. Other people don't. Other people don't. Satan can't and God won't. Y'all hear that part? Satan can't and God won't. He won't make you do a thing. He just shows you the right way. He says, here's the way. Walk ye therein. Which way do you want to go? It's up to us to choose exactly what God would have us to do. You must aim the camera and choose to believe. Choose to meditate and choose to speak the choice and then act. And I want to this one more scripture I'm going to give you. Choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, I wouldn't say my job or my duty, but it's my privilege to be a pastor, just like Pastor Terry is to you guys. And if there's one thing I could tell you is listen to the Word of God, obey the Word of God, and help one another obey the Word of God. When you see somebody that hasn't heard this sermon, help them to understand that and realize that everybody is taking pictures, whether you have a camera or not. You have your mind, and your mind is exactly like, it's better than any Canon or Nikon or any other kind you can get. But we need to help one another to be accountable that one day we're going to have to stand before God. And what is our life going to be? Is it going to be vain or is it going to be insane? Is it going to be the right thing or is it going to be the wrong thing? That's where we need to be accountable to one another as Christians. That's where if you get off in a place that you know that you don't know what to do to handle it, you need to have somebody that you can go sit down and talk with and tell them right where you're at. And be honest with them. Tell them, this is what I've been doing. And just pour it out and let them listen to it. And when you do, I promise you that person or people around you will begin to help you to overcome that situation. You see, I'm still under the persuasion that Jesus is coming very soon. And He's coming after a bride without spot or wrinkle. He's coming after a church that's pure and holy. And if you look around, you say, are we there? No. We got a lot to do. We got a lot of cleaning up to do in the church. We got a lot of people that we need to be witnessing to get them into the kingdom of God. And you say, well, what does all this have to do with cameras? It has everything to do with cameras. Because if we put the real image of God in our life, we're going to care for people. We will go and witness. And we will tell the truth about what's coming and what's happening on the face of this earth. Amen? Does anybody agree with me? It says, for they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. And I hate to say this, but a lot of times we come in here and we get knowledge. Knowledge is what we get. That's what Pastor Terry pours out of the Bible every time he opens it. He's giving you knowledge. And then you pray for wisdom, how to use that knowledge. But if we leave here and we don't share that good news and that gospel to other people, then basically we've just chose not to fear the Lord and just let that thing go away. And I promise you, if you'll start taking some stuff, I was reminded of this. My wife told me one day to go up in the attic to get, you know, we're fixing to enter winter time. So we got winter clothes that's in the attic. We got summer clothes that's in downstairs. So we're fixing to start doing that. But I was up there one day and I opened a box that had pictures. Y'all remember when we took real pictures with this kind of stuff? Yeah. And it's filled with things, with my kids and our lives and things that we did. And it's like, wow, man, I picked one up and I looked at that and it's like, boy, we're changing. I remember when I had hair one time. I remember when Janice had long hair. I remember before our kids came along. There's a couple of pictures in there that didn't have but one child in it. There's a couple in there that didn't have no children in it. And now they're grown and they're gone. And I have a grandson that's way bigger than I am right now. But it starts the gears turning. And it's like, what do you do if you on your epitaph when they got born on such a date and died on a date and that dash between those two dates? What have we done from this date to that date that's going to make an impact on us and an impact on this world? And a lot of it's going to take some imagery, some things that's already locked in your spirit. And you go back and you begin to do what the Apostle Paul did. And he said, stir up the gift that's within you. See, there's an image inside of you that's just like God. And it's got the same giftings as He does. And He wants you to use them. And when we come to that place and we begin to stir things up inside of us, then we'll begin to see the picture. And then we can begin to put the dots together. And then we can say, wow, we are a lot better than a camera because what we got locked in here is for eternity. This thing right here one day is going to burn just like everything else and it's going to be gone. But the things that I'm going to remember and the things that's important in my life are already right here. Amen? I want y'all to stand to your feet, please. Wow. It's 11:30. We got about 4 hours to do an altar call here. No, I'm joking with you. It's only 11:30. We got plenty of time to go eat. But I want to ask you today, getting back on the serious part of this, if you need some help in some of these areas, we want to get, Mike, if y'all would come and play, get the worship team back up here and let them play. See, I can't look at your pictures in your mind. God can, and you can. And He lets you see those pictures in your mind because He wants to help you. And if you put some things in your mind that you want out, you need to get them out. I want you to begin to come right now. I want you to come down here. We're going to pray with you. We're going to agree with you. We're going to cast those things, help you cast those things out of your mind. That when you look at stuff, you're going to look at things that's going to be different. And you're going to know that God is doing something great in your life. And I don't want you to be bashful. We're not going to expose you in any way. We want to come and agree with you today that Jesus is going to make a difference in your life. That the camera of your mind, when you look at something with your eye gate, your ear gate, it's going to look different than what it's ever looked before. So come on. Come on and move down here. Come on. We're going to pray for you. Thank you, Lord. And also, if you're here today and and you're not a Christian, you don't know what that means, we want to invite you to the Lord Jesus Christ today. And you say, well, how do I do that? You just believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that He went to the cross and He paid for your sins, not His sins. He paid for your sins. And He will take you today, and what the Bible refers to about being born again. And that literally means when you come and you confess your sins before Him, He will wash your sins away, and He will make you a child of the living God. And not only do you get eternity with Him, you will start now living a life that would be pleasing unto the Lord. And if you're not a Christian, I want you to come down here and stand right over here, and we want to pray with you today. Amen? Go ahead and sing, if y'all would, Mike. And I want some of you to come, and let's lay hands on these that have come today. And let's pray and believe. And it's not too late for you to come. I want you to come and say, you know what? I can't remember the last time I had a real good image that was a snapshot in my mind, and it went to my spirit. God, I want those. See, God, I'm convinced that God used to give some of you visions and dreams and things that would help you through the night, even while you were asleep. And He wants to restore that because He wants that image to go into your spirit, man. I want you to come.
Come on, let's do that.
Open my eyes, Lord.
Open my eyes.
I want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch Him.
Open my ears.
Open my ears, Lord, and help me to listen. Open my
one more time. Say it open. Ask Him.
Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch Him.
Years ago, they had a camera called the Brownie camera. And if you took a picture of something, you had a decision to make. You had a process where you could either leave the back of it closed and the image would become permanent. Or if you decided you didn't want to keep the image, you took the camera outside and you opened the back of it and you exposed it to the sun. And when you did that, that exposure to the sun then wiped out that image that you had just taken. And this morning you have a decision. Some of you,
You're in a situation where you need some images removed that you've taken. And the way you do that is you open up your life to the S, listen, the S-O-N. And you ask the Son of the Living God to shine. And then that will destroy and wipe out all those images. Even digital cameras ask you every time you download, do you want to keep these images or not? And right now the Lord is asking, do you want to keep those images or you don't? And if you don't, then you have to erase everything that I've taken because it's bad. I want to sing it one more time. If it is, I want you to open your life up right now and say, God, shine in my life. Come on, open up.
Open my eyes, Lord.
Lord, open my eyes.
Come on. I want to see Jesus.
Come on, open up. Open my ears.
Open my ears, Lord.
Teach me.
And teach me to listen.
Open my eyes, Lord.
Open my eyes, Lord.
Come on now, give them a great clap offering this morning. Would you do that? You know, when you this week, let me just encourage it. Why don't you this week unplug TV, computer, unplug from a lot of stuff. And when you do that, you just start opening your life up and take time before the Lord and just let Him begin to re-imprint in your life. How many think that's a great idea? Isn't that a great idea? You let the Lord lead you on that. Okay. We're now going to have a chance to fellowship, and the breaking of bread is very important. And let me encourage you to do this. If you're part of Victory, been here a long time, why don't you kind of reach out a little bit to somebody today? How that it may work for you may be different. Why don't you reach out? I'm just standing in your little click. Reach out a little bit to somebody new. And we got plenty of food.